ultimately, we're all dead men. Sadly, we cannot choose how, but we can decide how we meet that end. In order that we are remembered as men.
Hello, everybody, and this is episode 57 of Sean Hammer. Anyway, I'm going to sing my own theme music like Kronk off of Impersonal Group. Well, let's go ahead and start what today's episode is going to be about. And it will be about Malifaux. And specifically, it will be about Twisting Fates, the new Malifaux rulebook or supplement from Weird Ministries. And we'll be talking about all sorts of goodies that come into that. Let's go ahead and give a special shout-out to Damian Smith. Congratulations, he's this month's Malifaux winner. He won himself a Puppet Wars deck, some miniatures and bases from Fiendish Fabrications. Check them out at fiendishfabrications.com. They offer a great selection of round-shoulder bases, perfect for the Malifaux player. I know I have I personally have a set of the Fire and Brimstone bases for my Neverborn, for my Lilith crew, and they look fantastic. And as soon as I get off my freaking ass and finish painting them, I will post them. So let's go ahead and talk about what's been going on since last time you heard about me. I interviewed Graham McNeil. Woo! Sweet ass interview. I mean, 2 hours of great content. And my computer fucking hates me. Then it erased the recording. I lost it all. I'm afraid to ask him to redo it again. I'll bug him when he gets back from Australian Games Day. Maybe he'll be so kind as to hook me up with the pity cast after that. Who knows? Maybe I'll get everything in order. Superman Hero Clicks. I've been picked up some of those and getting ready for a tournament. And it's coming up weekend to play Superman Sealed Box Tournament. Working on ideas for the Dial Talk Radio, a HeroClix type podcast. Once in a while, it'd be linked to Sean Hammer. Hopefully, I can get it on another page off of Sean Hammer. If not, I'll make it short and sweet. I promise, guys. I'll do it. I'll release a regular Sean Hammer with it, too. So I'll keep Sean Hammer episodes labeled, the Sean Hammer with episode labels and stuff like that. And the Dial Talk Radio is something else. So if you have any ideas for HeroClix podcast or Warhammer 40k or Malifaux, send them to Sean Hammer at number9@yahoo.com. I accept everything. I give away stuff. I like it. Okay, I still have a couple more Games Day winners. Stuff to give away if you want to win it. So go ahead and shoot me an email. Let me know what you think of the show, what I can do to make it better. And we're not going to really get into it today, but Damien's idea was to actually focus on Malifaux minions that really aren't mainstream, kind of like not the Corphy duet, not, you know, Nino Ortega, he mentioned, just the non-mainstream Malifaux minions who seem to get overlooked, and I dig that. And I'll break it down. Well, I think after today's episode, I'll get in a format where I'll discuss a Malifaux minion every podcast. And that will be set until there are no more freaking minions or masters, henchmen, or whatever to go over. And we'll still cover the crews and such. Let's see, what have I been doing in the hobby? Well, on the podcast after this is about ogres. Warhammer ogres. And I picked up some ogres. I started an Ogre Kingdom army. I already had some ogres because I played Dogs of War. And a buddy of mine, Jason, he gave me some ogres in a trade. And I was like, holy shit, I almost got enough to do a small Ogre Kingdom army. All I need is a badass Thunder Tusk. Lo and behold, there I go. I have it. I just need to paint them now. I got them all put together. Start painting them. So that's, I was working on it for a week and didn't accomplish much but assembling them and putting them together. My daughter Miranda put together some Mordheim buildings for me. And she's continuing to do that. I'm going to use those for Malifaux scenery. I also completed a Malifaux game board using a card table. I'll put some pictures up that all completed. Flocked it, painted it, everything. It looks pretty great. And I played some games on it. I'd like to apologize for Becker. I'm sorry. Just sorry, Becker. You know why. I'm sorry. Really, I'm sorry, Becker. Got a hold of Painting Apothecary. He's going to finish up my Arcanist crew, my Cry. And he's actually going to paint Becker's Ortegas. And give the Painting Apothecary a check. You know, he's linked to the side of my show. And he's got great prices, does a great job. And you don't want to paint your own stuff? Get a hold of the Apothecary. He'll hook you up. Let's see, what else have I been doing? I've been minorly working on my Colette Showgirls group. My idea was, I like the Morgue bases so much, the Malifaux inserts. So I glued them to the Malifaux inserts with the Morgue bases. Now, my friend Becker says, well, that doesn't make sense. Why don't you do like, the wooden floor thing? But I'd be honest with you, everybody does the wooden floor thing. I mean, Showgirls, let's put them on the wooden floor. Anyway, no, I want some story to go behind mine. So I decided, I love the Morgue bases. The 50mm base, love it. I got the Corfee Duet, they're going to go on that. I haven't decided if I'm my theory or my story behind my Colette group is an Arcanist raid on the Resurrectionist Morgue. That's what I'm sticking with. They're all going to be on the Morgue bases. I'm going to, on the 50mm base, I think I'm going to lay out a, maybe a winged dove, mechanical dove on a table, and maybe put a mannequin strapped to the table, like they're dissecting it and stuff, and the Corfee Duet are going to be on that, trying to get back what the Resurrection has stole from the Arcanist. And that's going to be my, it's like a theme, it's like a, you know, a showgirl raid on McMorning or something, you know. So I figured it'd be pretty cool, and then break away from the whole, I'm playing showgirls, and they have to be on this base, or I'm playing Resurrectionists, and I'm going to put them on the Morgue bases. Well, I'm playing Colati, they're going on the daycare bases, which they are going on the daycare bases, because it's pretty freaking sweet. So let's see, I did ogres, I did, played a little bit, picked up some magic, some vampire werewolf loving. Let's see, worked on some ogre kingdoms. Oh, yes. I have an extra 50mm base hanging around. I have a Reaper miniature that I picked up to run with my Wood Elves. And I was going to use it as a Dryad, or a Branch Wraith, or whatever. I put a couple Games Workshop arms on her and stuff. Now she's like, you know why I got this Twisting Fates book? And the guys from Aethervox, they had the section called the Doppelganger. And if you haven't checked out the Aethervox, please go and do so. I mean, I can go over Malifaux, but these guys go over a lot more beautiful fashion than I do. So check them out. Maybe one day I'll show up on their show and do a review of a certain crew or not. I'm open. I can do Lilith. I can do Colette. But I can do Karai really well. So, let's see. So, anyway. I lost it. Anyway, I'm a dumbass. I get where I was coming from on that. Oh, anyway. Oh, anyway. There it was. They do this section called the Doppelganger. It's about using alternate sculpts or alternate minis for their Malifaux figures. Well, this Dryad, uncannily, just by accident, would make a great proxy. And it's probably not going to buy the regular model unless she's totally badass. But a great proxy for Lilith Avatar. And I'll put her up there. And I'll probably post some pictures of the beginnings and let you guys comment on that. Let me know what you think of what I can do to it to make it look a little bit more sinister like Lilith is in her beautiful little heart. But yeah, I'll post that as a main picture for this this month. Let me know what you think, and it's a great idea. I mean, some of these avatars are not released yet, and this just, wow, came to me right away, and I was just like, this is totally badass. I was actually plucking off 40 big bases for my Ogre Kingdoms, and I found her in there. I was like, oh, yeah. Then I was like, wait a minute. I just happened to be in the old reading room, which I call the restroom. I was reading through the Twisting Fates book, and lo and behold, picture of Lilith that I posted up about a month ago showed up on in my brain for using this Dryad model. So that's about it for the world of Sean and what he's been doing. Let's see. Did I go over everything? Played some Malifaux. Won some Malifaux. I played Cry. Yes, it was very beautiful. Then I played Lilith. And it was like the Lilith crew. 25 soul. No, it was so small. It was 15 soul stones. Lilith, Lilitu, and Lilu. Yeah, we played a 30 soul stone Cry crew, which had a bit more fun with that. I generally like Cry sometimes playing at that point. I like Lilith a lot. I don't know what crew I like, and I never paid attention. Anyway, short little break on there, and let's go into the Twisting Fates supplement. First of all, the big thing that we have in the Twisting Fates, of course, is avatars. Everyone's looking forward to the avatars. Some I think are pretty cool, others I'm not so sure of. So let's go ahead and talk about, Sean, how do we get avatars in Malifaux? Well, for one, you pay 2 points, and your master can become an avatar. But that's just not it. You can do what's called manifesting your avatar, and you go through on a, you got manifest requirements that work down on a clock. Each master has different requirements that they have to do, and that pretty much dictates when, what turn that the master can turn into the avatar. Each one's different, so let's go ahead and we'll go in the book and we'll just look at this. Sonya Crid, manifest requirements, kill one enemy with a magician's dual spell. Multi requirements example, successfully cast. This is not one. So each master has different manifest requirements. And they have what's called a clock, where you can't bring one up first turn, but you can start doing it. It becomes easier and easier as the game goes on. Let's see. First turn, if 0 requirements are met, 1 requirement or 2 are met, you cannot manifest. On second turn, you have... Okay. On every turn, if you've got no 0 requirements met, you cannot manifest. Turn 2, if you got 1 requirement met, they'll take... All of your actions you can manifest. If you got 2, it'll take 2. And third turn, it takes 2, then 1, then 1, then 1 or 0. So that really talks about how many actions your master has left after everything. And that's pretty much self-explanatory. Each one's going to have a different requirement. And let's go into avatars. And we're just going to go straight through. First, we have Hoffman, avatar of Anyway, Hoffman is a little baby in the metal gargoyle. He looks pretty cool. Let's see. I'm not a big Hoffman player. But he looks pretty decent. So for Hoffman, he's got a little bit, he's not the little cripple because he's being carried by a, metal beast. He's got some cool little things. He's got Justice, Lady Justice, the Avatar of Balance. And, pretty much from what I've seen, all the artwork in the book pretty much matches the, model sculpting. So I like to see how they're actually going to do Justice Avatar Balance. She's got a crow and a ram, winged ram fighting in her hands. And, you know, it's pretty cool looking. Let's see. I'm just going to go through and just talk about each one. But really focus, not talk about each one, but focus a little bit on the ones I like. I'm biased. It's my podcast, damn it. We have Perdita, the Avatar of Revelation. She's riding on Niflheim. Basically, is that Savitar, Sonya to Savitar, Avatar of Conflagration, and she's spewing a big old fire dragon, and basically you can only guess what she's got. We have got Cry, the Avatar of Vengeance. Now this one's pretty cool. It's got Cry laying on the ground, and the thing that she creates, Kiro, I think her name coming out of her. Now, talk a little bit about her. She's running in at a walk 4, no charge, height 3, willpower 6, casting 6, defense 4, 9 wounds. She's got for attack, razor sharp fingernails, CB7, range 2, damage 2, 3, 5, and pitiful wail. Range attack of 6, CB6, and 1 blast and 2 blasts. She's got the whole avenge me thing, you know. She's going to... She becomes a little bit more of a going to get you. I don't know how if I'm going to run this one, but I am definitely going to buy it. She got the whole spiteful aura, despairing sigh. So she brings it in a little bit more where Cry herself is going to be damaging you. She loses a lot of the summoning, so she won't be able to do a lot of stuff. And, she basically becomes a little bit more of a melee beat stick. She's got immediate revenge too, spirit anchor. She still has that spirit touch. She still has that. But she loses a lot of her summoning and support to more of a come to me and attack type. We have McMorning, Avatar of Anesthesia. He looks okay. He comes with a big old beast. We got Nicodem, the Avatar of Decay. This is pretty cool. He looks like he's a lich now, being carried around in a Victorian office chair, carried around by zombies. This might have to happen for my fantasy army as it is. We got Seamus, Avatar of Dread. Seamus turns into Mr. Hyde. Incredible Hulk type thing. Really cool. We have Colette, the Avatar of Deception. Now, I'm not sure. Colette plays pretty good as herself. But instead of becoming big nasty, the Colette Avatar actually becomes three Colettes. She's got two decoys and one Colette itself, you know, and... She's got a lot more trickery, and, you know, you declare which one's the real Colette and stuff, and it all really depends on sculpts of the figures, whether or not you really get too carried away wanting this. We have Marcus the Avatar Instinct. He becomes a Chimera thing. I'm not even going to go over him. Sue me, I don't like Marcus. We have Ramos, Avatar of Invention. He becomes Doc Ock. We have Rasputina, Avatar of Famine. This is going to happen. My wife plays Rasputina, and this is Rasputina in a fetal position in the middle of a giant ice golem. It's pretty damn sweet. She turns into a bigger beet stick. She eats stuff. Eats your fill and stuff like that. She's it's all about freezing cold, you know. And it's the same stuff that she's been doing. It's just, she's pretty cool. She's got Ice Blade of range 2. CB5 with a 3/3/5 damage. Ice Shards, range 8 with a 5 CB with a 1/2 blast and 3/2 blast. She's pretty cool. She offers a little bit more of a lot of casting masters where I see look a little bit more like they're going into a little bit more of the melee type melee. And a little bit of a beaten. We have Dreamer, Avatar Imagination. Cool looking sculpt. Not even worried about it. I'm not sure about the Dreamer. I'm still in between with the Dreamer. I have him, but I don't really know if I feel it. I don't know if I feel it. Let's see. Next up we have Lilith, Avatar of Nature's Malevolence. She's pretty sweet. She's got a 6 walk, 9 charge, 3 height, weapon skill 6. Casting 6, defense 6, wounds 10. Range 2 on her claws with 7 CB with 2/4/5, and she's got Thorny Vines, which is ranged attack. With 6 of masks, so does the claws have a mask. Damage 1, 2, and 3. She's got for her abilities armor 1, plus 1, black blood. She's got bloodthirsty foliage. That basically, when living or undead model within 8 inches, of this model and his base contact with the wooden train is placed to kill, the model gains 1 blood token so she can like suck out on the blood from the bloodthirsty foliage, I guess. Haunted Forest. Let's see. She can attack models anywhere within 2 inches of the woods that she's in. Hungry Trees. 4 inches. Mark of Nature's Malevolence. Friendly non-unique Nephilim gain wicked ability while this model's in play. Cool. Master Malifaux, same as before. She's got Russian Magic, same as before. Wicked, model strikes against this. Disengaging models deal damage into addition of ending the action. She's got Claws paired. She's got Actions Fast. She's got Drains Blood, immediately uses Action. I think that's the same. Blood from Stone, same. And Erupting Underbrush. His model discards a blood token, a model that then performs a claw strike against every other model within a woods terrain piece this model is touching. Okay, all I got to say is I thought for sure, 100% sure, that we were going to see some type of synergy with the Wildgeist and the Lilith with the Illusionary Force. And this is making me very happy. Okay, we have Lost in the Woods, enemy models. These are actions, I should say. One action, enemy models completely within the woods. Placed within 12 inches. And let's see, trigger, she's got beset by nature, thorny vines. She's just all in all pretty evil. I like her. The model, the promises to be beautiful. The abilities seem to be cool. The synergy with the rest of her Nephilim, especially models like the Y guys, seem to be there. If you like Lilith, I'm pretty sure you're like this model. We have Pandora, the Avatar of Insanity. She comes with grown-up candy. She's got the box. She's on tentacles. She's a mobile. I don't know how I feel about that. We have Zoraida, the Avatar of Fate. Now, you take a good master, Zoraida, and you make her better, and you make her hotter. That's what they do. I don't know. I don't see any drawback for taking Zoraida. I would take Zoraida's Avatar every time. Probably I play Zoraida, I'm going to run the Avatar. And unless the model comes out quick, and if I make a substitute model for this, I'm going to buy this model. Hopefully it goes together well. She's for ability. She's got the Bayou 2 card again, which allows her to play the top card of her discard pile. I saw this in the cards. Your initiative flips receive a plus flip. Irresistible. You have to win a weapon willpower duel. Target 12 to attack her. She got the Mark of Fate. One friendly model may use the Bayou's two card ability once per turn. Weapon, she has Withering Touch, which is magical and ignores armor. She's got plus 2 casting master. She's got Empowered by Fate. Discarding a control card, this model performs a healing flip. Then the model's controller declares whether this card heals the wounds indicated or draws extra cards. I mean, she's just all sorts of coolness. The only thing she doesn't have is making the Wicked Dolls or Voodoo Dolls. So, I still play her. We have Hamlin, Avatar of Contagion. I'm unsure. I've been trying to get a hold of Hamlin itself without the Avatar. I mean, not worried about this at all. We have Leviticus, Avatar of Entropy. This will happen, boys and girls. Holy shit. Leviticus is a rider. He gets benefits from the riders. I'm talking he can summon and use the Pale Rider, the Dead Rider, the Hooded Rider, and the Clockwork Rider. And he's got a whole bunch of stuff to go with it. And I can go into it, but I'm not going to. Other podcasts have. If you're a Malifaux player and you don't have this book, you should get this book. Let me just say that his Death Touch, which is his melee attack, 0 damage for weak, 1 for moderate, and 12 for severe. Holy shit. So we'll just jump that. We have Summer and Peaches. Not really worried about the gremlins. We have the Victorious, the Avatar of Slaughter. These models have no walk, but they do have a charge and a whole bunch of stuff that moves them along while things are dying. So I know I'm pretty much scooting across everything really quick, but I like to say that I would like to put the Avatars, I'm going to include them in talks about going over the cruise, as well as new models in the book. I'm just giving an overview on this and tell you that this is a pretty badass book. So we go into minions next. We have Exorcist for the Guild. Pretty cool. Another nice little undead guy. He's got a whole bunch of benefits against undead, as you would imagine, because he's an exorcist. We have Letigo Pistiero minion. He's a family model for the Guild Ortegas. I don't know how I like him, so I'm not really going to go into him. We have the Pale Rider. Sweet. The model looks like this. It'd be well worth it. Pretty much runs along the same stats and everything as the other riders. We'll go over them when I actually do a Leviticus, because I Leviticus, I'm going to cheat, and I'm just going to do Leviticus how I would play him, using the riders and not anything else, because I don't care. We have the Warden Minion for Hoffman. We have the Witchling Handler, and in this book we have effigies, which I will go through with them as well. These are little items that offer benefits to your crew, and you can't run any totems when you have them, and each one are pretty bad, and the only one that can pretty much run them all is Neverborn. Go figure. Oh, that's what it is. Someone called them the Neverlose. I had no idea that's what they're called. I feel dirty now, but it's over. Because I like the way it looks. Let's see. For the Resurrectionists, we have the Krulligan. These are kid-type models. They're horrors and undead. I believe that to be used for, gone dead, brain dead, that is. I'm in a Resurrectionist section. And I'll get back to it. We have the Dead Doxy, which, another bell that, surprisingly, one of her things is, strangely attractive, one of her abilities. We have the Drowned Minion. Molly. We can use them with Molly. And we have the Chakuna Ubumi Minion. She's going to happen. Creepy undead spirit lady who drowns children. Yeah, 50mm base. I'm probably going to use Clan War figure. I'm not going to buy this one. Who knows? We have the Embalmer Minion. And we also have the Carrion Effigy Minion. We have the Arcanist. Let me learn how to speak today. Let's see. We have, which I'm looking forward to, we have a Carnival Barker named Angelica, Mistress of Ceremonies. She's a minion for Colette. I'm looking forward to using her. It gives me a little bit more range of models I can use in a Colette crew. Running in at 5 soulstone costs is not that bad. To see what I can sacrifice here and there, I'll probably run her when I'm running a solo Corphe and some showgirls with rather than two Corphe duet. So we'll get to her when we talk about Colette, which I believe will be pretty soon. I think we'll go over Colette coming up. Will be our first crew breakdown after the Ogre Kingdom that I'll be doing. We have the Blessed of December, a titted werewolf, basically. We have the Fire Gammon, perfect for Sonya Cred or Karais. We have Slate Ridge Mauler. This is a four-armed rock bear, man bear pig. We have the Union Miner, just general MNSU Miner. We have the Arcane Effigy. I want to admit that these effigies look weird. I'm just going to throw that out there. Just going to throw it out there right now. Let's see. Scoring through the book comes one of my other sections. Oh my God. Let me just tell you this. In the beginning of the book, it's the cutest freaking picture of Teddy you ever seen in your life. If they sculpted this as a model, oh my God. Totally sweet. I need it. So someone out there who can sculpt, if you can sculpt me this model, just let me know. Let's see. For Minions of Neverborn, we have Iggy, which is a unique woe. He's a fire blaster. He's got Smoldering Heart, I think. Yep. Smoldering Fist, anyway. Smoldering Fist. He's got animosity towards Hamlin. Why not? We have the Spawn Mother. She is a Gups minion. These are increasing the amount of slurreds that we will have out there. Looking forward to see what the sculpts actually look like. We have Tuco minion. He is a unique Nephilim. He's a Nephilim Ortega who hates the Ortegas. So when I go over to Ortegas, when I go over Nephilims a little bit more in my own podcast instead of going over to Gamers Lounge, I'll talk a little bit about Tuco. We have the Weaver Widow, which is pretty cool. She's the first model that Colati crews can hire that's not a doll. She is a giant spider dressed in a fancy dress with a parasol. She's the creepy thing under the bed for 9 soul stones. She can create teddies. Yep. Create teddies. That's nice. This is a bit harder than what it sounds, but yeah, she can do it. She can craft dolls. So she can summon one wicked doll. Yeah, she's going to happen because that just makes sense in my sick mind. We have the mysterious effigy. That's the Neverborn effigy, although I think all of them can be run by Neverborn. And then we go into the outcast. We have the Lazarus minion. It's another construct. We have Lenny, a height 2 retarded or mentally challenged gremlin with a big log, and he throws pig. He throws pigs. And Lenny, kind of like of Mice and Men, and gives the pictures, got him wearing his pants on backwards. He's all silly. I work with a guy named Lenny that looks like this big old farm boy, and I can see where they're coming from. Probably use him as their inspiration. We have McTavish Minion. He can work for gremlins. He comes with an alligator, pretty sweet. And we have Sue. I think this is Guy, but he's kind of like the guitarist, Desperado. He comes with a magic guitar and shit. Pretty cool. We have Ten Thunder Ninja Minion. Don't know how I feel about that. And we have the Hodgepodge effigy for the outcasts. That's basically just to talk about all the little goodies. Of course, the Twisting Fates book has buttloads of fluff to go along with it. So that's pretty cool. It's got some great artwork, and a lot of the, from what I've seen with the rules manual, my buddy Becker, he got the Perdita, and it matches the artwork 100% from the rules manual, or I think it's the rules manual. So that's pretty cool. So good things coming with Weird releasing a lot of this stuff. I mean, this is a company that's growing fast and it definitely knows what it's doing. And they created a great game. It plays really fun. If you don't have anybody who plays this game, you guys should definitely try it out. If you listen to me and say, "Oh, Sean, come on, damn it. I play 40K or Warhammer. You know why you talk about the stinking Malifaux stuff?" I'll be honest with you. I love Warhammer. I love 40K. Matter of fact, I'm never going to drop them. I picked up 2 armies just recently. I picked up Grey Knights, low model count for 40K, and I picked up Ogre Kingdoms, low model count for fantasy. 2 armies you can get into, relatively not that cheap, but not that expensive as all the other ones. But Malifaux, even smaller, even cheaper, plays on a smaller game board, gives you a nice little break. I mean, I can love 40K, I can love fantasy, but something nice about Malifaux, just breaking you away from the whole thing. You play the game with a strategy, and both of you have your schemes, you and your opponent. So, I mean, it allows you to play the games in different ways, different masters, and, you know, the models are great, the feel of the game is great. I mean, only your imagination stops you from not being great, too. So, let's see, I'm going to cut this podcast short. We will have the Ogre Kingdom coming up very soon, if not pretty close to the same day. If you have any questions or concerns, go ahead and send them to Sean Hammer, SEANHAMMER, the number 9 at yahoo.com. Send some ideas. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you want to see. Coming up, we have the Ogre Kingdoms. I'll probably do my first Malifaux Minion breakdown in that episode as well. And hopefully we'll have the new White Dwarf by that time. And I promise you don't have to wait a whole month or 3 weeks for the next episode. I'll put this out quick. So if I keep my episodes small again, I can put more out more frequently. Because, be honest with you, I don't have the bandwidth to keep doing long episodes and pumping out a lot. So that's about it. Let me know what you think. Congratulations, Damien. I also sent Ian from the Ethervox his package this week. I hope you like it. And remember, till next time, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game. Thank you.
can tell. Heaven from hell, blue skies from pain. Can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail? A smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell? And did they get you to train your heroes for ghosts? Hot ashes for trees, hot air for a cool breeze, cold comfort for change. Did you exchange a walk on a part of the war for a lead role in a cage?
Thank you.